From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Planning and development in Southwest Florida has a way of bringing out the capitalist in some or conservationist in others. Either way, the regional planning boards and county commissioners have to strike a delicate balance with the concerns of their constituents. We talk with some of those decision makers about making development decisions in 2017. Plus, the Canadian dollar has been weak for more than a year now, and the euro has tumbled mightily in recent months. What does that mean for international tourism in Southwest Florida? We'll talk with the people whose job it is to lure people to our beaches, and with a real estate agent about the impact exchange rates are having on local properties. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Managing development in the state of Florida is a delicate balancing act, to say the least. We have a host of environmental concerns, from water quality to wildlife habitat. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have private landowners and need for increasing tax rate base. Proposals to develop land parcels inevitably end up before governing bodies like county commissioners and regional planners. And 2017, we'll see several. But what goes into this approval process and what environmental impacts are considered? Here in the studio today to talk with us about that from the Lee County Board of Commissioners is District 1 Representative John Manning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Julie, for having me.
And for a look at the big picture at how developments throughout the area interact and overlap, we have Jim Beaver with the Southwest Florida Regional Planning Council. Jim, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
We are talking about development in 2017. What do you think should be at the top of the list of concerns? Call in with your thoughts or questions at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can go to WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. Well, first, John Manning, as a Lee County Commissioner for a number of years and as a public servant for more than two decades, I'm sure that you've seen your share of development down here in Southwest Florida. Quite a bit has changed in the last 20 years. Of course, we've had a downturn in 2008, but then things have been coming back. Looking back over the past few, where are we at today?
Well, we're in good shape, Julie, from a fiscal standpoint of view, because the recession has basically dissipated, hopefully. We lost a lot of good tradespeople during the recession. Building permits went down. They're coming back now, but there has to be a balanced approach to managing growth, and that's what I've been advocating for a number of years.
It's a tough balancing act to show. I mean, we're coming back, but do you see a trend towards even more or
Well, I'm hopeful that when the referendum on conservation 2020 was reaffirmed by the voters of Lee County on an almost 84% level, which is higher than when it was passed in 1996, I remember those days. I think that, quite frankly, that balance has to be more in play than it was in the previous 10 years or so.
So you think going forward from 2017 forward, you'd like to see more balance between environmental concerns and development?
Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, in late 2015, the Board of County Commissioners, the present group, and I thank my colleagues for this, made several strategic priorities, I think nine in total. And the number one priority was managing growth. How do we capture both environmentally and allow private property rights to responsibly develop their properties and become sustainable.
And this is 2015 that you put this together?
Correct.
That the board put it together. And so apparently you sensed what was coming on with the comeback.
Yes, and we're meeting again the end of this month for another set of priorities or to tweak the ones that we developed before. So it's going to be a good exercise. It's an all-day retreat, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that'll be interesting. And Jim Beaver with the Regional Planning Council, your jurisdiction covers Charlotte, Collier, Glades, Hendry, Lee, and Sarasota counties. That's a wide swath of land. Where are you seeing the biggest bump in development?
We're seeing development going at a very fast pace in particular parts of each of those counties, with the exception of the interior. So you see a lot of activity, a lot of new housing going in Northport, southern part of Sarasota County, and there's some new proposals to go east of the interstate there. in Lee County. There's a lot of proposals, a lot of them going into or adjacent to the DRGR. And then the Babcock Ranch DRI is firing up to actually – it's already broken ground in Charlotte and it goes into part of Lee. Collier County, they're also going out into the rural lands area and moving also into parts of their eastern county. And there's also just a lot of new infill occurring in places of the eastern part of Naples.
New infill, what do you mean by that?
Well, they'll take a place that had already been developed and it's no longer active, and they change it into another land use.
Oh, okay, in eastern Collier County. I know what you're talking about in that area on the way towards Marco.
That and also up and down some of their north-south roads. They had businesses at one end. The businesses disappeared, and now they're converting them into another land use.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that the eastern area, the eastern zones are more environmentally sensitive or more impactful, the new development out past I-70?
Well, as a rule of thumb, both the coast and the interior areas of the counties are environmentally sensitive. But the larger developments that are being proposed, the ones that are in, you know, thousands of units, are all in the eastern portions because the coastal parcel availability is not that much. We do have some big high-rises, though, proposed on the coast in a number of communities.
We're definitely growing. But tell me what the Planning Council's role is in permitting and recommendations.
Well, we are not a permitting agency. We're a review agency. So if developments are of sufficient size to meet the thresholds, and they generally have to be very large for us to review them because we look at regional impacts or at the border between two counties or a county and a city, we will review those. And we review them for a wide variety. It can be upwards of 20 different subject areas, from natural resources, water supply, wastewater, police protection, the economic viability of the development, and a wide number of different things. And then we make recommendations to the local government in the process, and it's actually a dialogue with the local government in which we make recommendations. Oftentimes, the development will be changed to improve it. And finally, you get to a set of development recommended conditions, which we send to the local government, and it's their choice where they incorporate it into a development order that they wish to issue or not.
So it's mainly a recommending body.
Yes.
You look at the big developments, the bigger ones that have to meet a certain level, and then you kind of look at how it's going to impact the environment, come up with maybe amendments to the development that you might suggest, and then take that to the board.
Yes, and we try to make positive modifications that meet with both the regional strategic policy plan and are compatible with the county's or city's comprehensive plan. And that's often the situation. Developers will come in with proposals that don't actually mesh up with what the comprehensive plan says you should be doing.
They just figure if they ask, they might slide it through, or?
They come up with these ideas wherever they're from, and then they try to sort of transplant it to Southwest Florida. And, you know, what people conceive of in Miami or in New York may not actually fit our region.
Yeah, that's an interesting dialogue that you have to have with people that are from out of the area to understand how you want to do things in our area. Mr. Manning, in Lee County specifically, are there any planned developments that are on the radar that you perceive to be environmentally significant or that you're hearing some words about?
Yes, there is a number of developments of significant rooftop numbers that are going in on the Alico corridor, the Corkscrew corridor, and we're looking at those very closely. Fortunately, we have a very stringent process that a developer has to go through. Just to follow up with what Jim just said, we have very good and competent staff, and we have what's called a hearing examiner process that looks at the comprehensive land use plan, what we're supposed to do in Lee County, and meshes that with the development that is proposed. And if the development that is proposed is something that is not to Lee County standards, then we, the hearing examiner and the staff, will reject it and then bring it to us, and then we will reject that or accept it depending on what the value of the board is at the time in terms of what they want to do with that proposal. So it is a very strict process and one that I'm glad that's in effect, but it doesn't preclude a developer if they follow the rules from developing their property that they have private property rights in.
So out on Corkscrew, you mentioned, there are a couple different housing developments that are being proposed out there.
Right.
And by development, a lot of people think of just housing and commercial, but what about mining? I know there are a couple of mines out there.
There is a proposal for a mine, limestone mine, that has been proposed by Lakewood Ranch. That's a development group out of, I believe, Sarasota, Jim. I'm not sure exactly where they are. I've never been on their property. But we're looking at that very closely. We just accepted a program that an engineering firm did looking at mining from now till 2040, and we have accepted that. We haven't gone through that with a fine-tooth comb at this point to modify it or send it back to staff for modification.
How long does it take to get something like this through?
Well, it depends. If it's a number of rooftops, it could take a year and a half. It could take months. It depends on the size of the proposal.
Do developers ever get tired of waiting and go away?
No, they're pretty much a stick-to-itive group, and they will wait for their chance to develop if they have a viable piece of property.
Now, Mr. Beaver, you mentioned earlier that area is a DRGR area or near a DRGR area. Alphabet soup, help me out with that. What does DRGR stand for and how significant is it?
That is the Density Reduction Groundwater Recharge Zone.
What is that? What does that mean?
It's an area that was designated in Lee County Comp Plan, basically bounded by State Road 82 in the north and at one time I-75, but now more Ben Hill Griffin. On the west, that was a portion of the county that was going to not have as dense of a development and would have areas for groundwater recharge because many of the well fields that people depend upon for potable water in Lee County south of the Caloosahatchee River are located in that area. So it's a very valuable public resource in that setting. So it set up a set of land uses which were allowable, that were less intense, that were compatible with those functions, and basically were supposed to protect that resource for those purposes. And at the same time, it provided wetland protection. It provided habitat for threatened and endangered species, a wide variety of things, and adds overall to the economy of Lee County and making it an ecotourism destination. And it's very valued by the people of Lee County and by many of the visitors and tourists who come here.
So you said from Ben Hill Griffin eastward?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of development out there.
Yeah. What's happened over the years, many locations, including this university we're in at the moment, were excised from the DRGR so they could be developed. So they kept scalloping the edges and pushing the DRGR a little bit further east each time.
Hmm. And how is that protected? How is that enforced, the DRGR? I mean, why set it aside if it doesn't?
Well, this is a county designation, so I think they could best answer that question.
Yes.
I'll give you a very good example, Julie. Wild Blue, which has developed in the Estero area, was DRGR land. It was basically ag property, but there was historic flowways on the property. There was panther habitat on the property. The developer has agreed to renew those historic flowways and to further protect the habitat of endangered species on the property. So he has been very cooperative with not only the environmental community but the county commission and the county staff and the hearing examiner in bringing that property back to life, and it's less dense than it would have been otherwise if you compare it apples to apples comparison.
Is this an example of that, what you're talking about, the 2015 initiative that you put forward where you wanted to allow development to continue, however, do it in a more environmentally sensitive way? Is that a result of that type of a mentality?
It is and it isn't. It is in the fact that, for example, I'm an advocate of infill development, where infrastructure is already in place and development can go around those instead of urban sprawl. And so this is a prime example, Wild Blue, of a developer who's been somewhat responsible in terms of bringing that DRGR property back to life.
We are talking about development in 2017 with our guests, John Manning with the Lee County Board of Commissioners and Jim Beaver with the Southwest Florida Regional Planning Commission. You can become part of the conversation, too, by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. I want to ask a pretty simple question from a Joe Citizen standpoint. Someone comes to you with a parcel of land. They own it. They want to sell it to a developer. And the developer wants to put in a gated community or mine for Lime Rock or put in a strip mall. What are the things that the board looks at before they give approval to someone like that?
Well, first of all, going back to the very stringent process that we have in place, it has to go through staff scrutiny first. It has to go through the hearing examiner process first. And then it comes to the board when those processes are all finished. And there is a criteria set already established that indicates what the developer has to do and what he can't or she can't and what he can't or she can do. So it's a very stringent process.
They come up to you with a permit and you say, well, okay, you want to put in 1,300 houses in let's just use an example. If they want to put it out on Corkscrew next to the DRGR or in a little scallop that's been carved out of it, then they come to you. Do you have environmental people then look at what the impact is going to be?
We have a very competent staff and we have a very competent set of hearing examiners that will look at all of the aspects, as Jim mentioned before, of what goes into a development. And if they do not conform to our comprehensive land use plan, they will not be able to develop that property.
Do you get a lot of pushback from developers?
No, not really. They understand the process now, and some of them have been very cooperative with us. As Jim mentioned before, some from either out of state or out of the area will come in thinking that they can do what they want to do, but that's not the case.
Yeah, that was an interesting story you said about somebody that came in and just asked, who do I have to pay to not have to deal with all of this?
Yeah, they basically said that was the procedure that they were familiar with from the state that they had come from. We've also had people who came from the areas where they, you know, take tops of mountains off to coal mine and wonder why they weren't able just to completely clear their lands in the process prior to turning it into a development.
Okay, I have a simple question, and I wonder this. When I'm driving down the road and someone develops something, why do they take every single tree off of the land? They just don't even leave anything. Does anybody know why they do that?
I do have an idea why they do it, but that really shouldn't always be happening. But when you're under a certain parcel size, you are basically able to have allowances for that to occur.
You're free to do what you want?
It's only when you get to a larger scale development, there's mandatory set-asides for green space and natural habitat.
That's correct.
That one just occurred to me because every time I drive down the road and someone wants to build something, they take every single tree out. And I just think that – I don't know if that's really necessary.
Well, basically the slang for that is laser-level engineering. Oh. That the concept plan shows everything flat and they go out and prepare the site to be flat. They're paid to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do. Yesterday we were on the show. We were talking about the Everglades and the water situation. And we see our population spike every year in season right as we're in the middle of the driest part of the year. How does water management factor into decisions to let more homes and businesses be in different places?
Basically, the Water Management District, which is the main authority relating to water supply, do not have the authority to deny any future development. They will set forth the standards that the development is supposed to have for their surface water management system. They will make sure through their coordination with the local government that the proposed number of houses will have the water supply they need to do what they're proposing to do. That's also something we do at the Regional Planning Council, see that the water supply meshes up with the future water demand.
With the number of showers and sinks going in?
And other water uses. There are many businesses and other activities which can be much more water consumptive than people. Things like golf courses, if they're not managed properly, can be great water consumers. We also try to work – the Water Management District and the Regional Planning Council and many of our local governments try to work for water conservation so they do use reuse water for irrigation or other things like that. But basically, the Water Management District's responsibility is always to make sure the water supply is there. And with certain changes that have been done by the legislature over these past few years, It used to be that you were supposed to be concurrent with the water supply. Now the law says that the Water Management District has to come up with the water after the development's been approved.
Well, that would be kind of hard if there's no water. What do you do when there's no water?
Well, then you have to start looking at more expensive ways to make potable water. And actually, we're heading in that direction in many different ways. There's a thing called the Regional Water Supply Plan, which is a very interesting document. And it's projecting that in the future, and even now this happens in a number of our communities, they're going to extract salinated water from groundwater, not as salty as seawater, but still salinated. And they're going to reverse osmosis that to provide potable drinking water for people while agriculture continues to have the surface water resources.
Yeah, I've seen that happening in other countries, actually. I saw something about that. We have a call coming in from Kathleen in Naples. Kathleen, what would you like to ask?
Hi. I live in East Naples, and I have a general question. Of course, we've seen massive developments go into this area, and it breaks my heart to think of the natural wildlife. Where do they go, and what happens when they clear cut all of this land and just keep going and going?
Okay, so the question is, what happens to the animals when what the natural habitat is taken out?
Well, the mobile wildlife go leave the site and try to get it into the increasingly smaller habitat that's available to them, but many just die. And you know, particularly the smaller animals, they will just be killed by the land clearing process. You often see at a site where the land's been cleared a lot of roadkill around that site as the wildlife is leaving the site but then is killed on the highway.
Yeah, when you're minimizing the amount of space that they have. Well, that's pretty sad. Mr. Manning, it was released today that you have been elected as chair of the Airport Planning Board and as a 5-member board that sets policy for public and private air operations in Lee County. I wanted to ask you what you see on the horizon in 2017 and beyond as far as air travel at RSW and Page Field.
Well, year after year after year, and Bob Ball, who was the executive director, effectively retired today. It was his last meeting. Year after year, we've seen an uptick in passenger numbers at our airport, and we are trying to get into more overseas methodologies of travel, more places in Europe as well. And so I'm very positive about what is going on at the airport. We have a new terminal going in, a new tower rather. We have potentially a parallel runway that will be going in, so we'll be able to handle more traffic, which is demand-based and comes from all over the country and in a lot of cases comes from the Caribbean as well. So I'm very optimistic about the way that the airport is going. When we bought the land at the airport, and Jim probably remembers this, we bought well over 7,000 acres of property because we wanted to have an environmental process around the ring of the airport and have the internal development of the airport done right. And so that's coming along very well.
I got to say, every time I drive to the airport, I see some sort of wild something.
Yes.
I see a little family of wild boars, or I see deer, or I see somebody somewhere along the way. And there's a lot of land.
We have been very, very careful to adopt a policy where habitat for both the animals and the travelers mesh and is conducive to that further growth.
It's not a bad thing to see, too, when you're flying into town and you're trying to make it an attractive place for tourism.
That is what Commissioner Manning's mentioning is a good example of the development of regional impact process working very successfully. We coordinate it with the county in terms of those preserves and also a very large area of future mitigation to offset future expansions for the airport. And these become part of a panther corridor, and we've even had panther kittens and born on these properties that Lee County set aside as part of their airport development. So that's a good example of how the development of regional impact process can work and work very successfully.
And it looks like we're looking forward to more of these examples of things working successfully, working together with the environmental.
Well, that was a number of years ago, unfortunately, in Jim's case, and I wish we were better partners than we are today than, you know, we were 15, 20 years ago. He's absolutely correct. They coordinated with the county in the commission on that development, and that's why we bought so many acres.
Well, there's always a restarting point.
Well, what happened in the interim since that time, and we did a lot of great projects together all through the region. The legislature over the past 8 years has successively, session after session, removed the Regional Planning Council's authority to review projects, to participate in project review, and to basically assist the local governments in the ways that we did before. And giving most of the authority either to the local government itself or just taking it away completely and setting the thresholds very high on the developments of regional impact that we do review. And they create a thing called sector plans, which allow whole blocks of counties to be planned for development with very little input from the Regional Planning Council.
Well, could there be a voluntary amount of input that is taken or agreed upon?
Yes, and some of our local governments do participate. And in fact, the City of Bonita Springs, just today I was assisting them in planning the Filter Marsh project, and Lee County at time will ask me for assistance. So this next year I'll be working with them on updating their master mitigation plan. But that's on a request basis, and some of our local governments do not do that.
I wanted to ask you also about we were on the airport subject up in Punta Gorda. What's happening there? Is any expansion there?
Yes. That's one of our fastest growing airports in the region. And they're working on making further accommodations for the large amount of traffic they're getting. Because the airlines that fly out of there go to parts of the United States directly and direct flights that others don't provide, it's very popular with people who want to go to the Midwest and the middle part of America, Pennsylvania, and stuff like that.
Do you think you're going to have any additional airlines going into the – right now I think it's just Allegiant, correct?
Well, I also understand Frontier.
Okay.
And there's more probably going to get involved. They do have their airport authority, and they've got planning that they're going to do.
Well, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do, and I'm looking forward to more international flights at RSW.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
It's been very lucrative for Lee County.
Yeah. It's good for our tourism and good for our home sales too. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. I want to thank you both for coming in and visiting with me today and talking about the cooperation between environmental concerns and development. I think it's something that a lot of people think about. And once they get here, they get very interested in conserving what we have. So I appreciate you coming in and talking with me.
You're very welcome.
All right. Coming up, a weak Canadian dollar and a 14-year low for the euro makes a difference in Southwest Florida's economy, too. We'll talk tourism and international home sales as soon as we come back.